All right. Most of you remember Martha. She was a part of us, what, about 2 years ago now?
4 years ago.
4 years ago? Time flies, doesn't it, when you're having fun? And she left us to go to Alabama and then to go to Auburn, right? Or you stayed? Auburn, then Alabama. I got it backwards. Because you really wanted to go to Alabama, right? There, that's right. Anyway, she's going to share with us a little bit about what God's done since she's left.
Thanks, Rick. Hey, everybody. I do know most of you guys. I miss you guys so much. Thanks for giving me just a few minutes. I just want to share just a testimony and just kind of what the Lord's doing right now. We've got some transitions coming up in the organization that I'm with. I'm with Chi Alpha Campus Ministry. We're all over the U.S. On college campuses, just reaching students. And I moved to Auburn, which is my rival school. I went to the University of Alabama. And might I note that since I moved back, we have won 3 national championships. No, that's not the important part. I moved to Auburn to do my training for Chi Alpha. I left with this young man right here, husband. And then we moved to Tuscaloosa 2 years ago. And I've been working with international students for the last 2 years. And just want to share one testimony. This is somehow Georgia always kind of comes back. I met this student at the beginning of this past school year. She was from Hong Kong, China, and she was in high school there where a lot of them live in the high school that they go to, and she was in the most prestigious high school in Hong Kong, and she had so much stress on her life, and she wanted so badly to do well in her school that they had lights out at like maybe 11 o'clock, and they would go and hide in the bathroom to study all night so that they could be successful and please their parents and all this stuff. And she's a really, really, really smart girl, but she didn't do as, I mean, she was in the best high school in Hong Kong. And so she said that she wanted to change her life and finish her high school in the U.S. So Hong Kong has 7 million people. She moved to Statesboro, Georgia, and finished at a little small private school there. And I looked it up yesterday. They have 28,000 people in Statesboro. So 7 million, 28,000, pretty big difference. And she had a host family there, and she, I think, spent 2 years there. And she began to go to church with them. And she had never, you know, her parents don't have a religion, and she'd never really heard much about any kind of a God. And so she learned a little bit there, and then she decided to go to Alabama, and I met her her first week of school, and she started coming to Chi Alpha. She came to my my Bible study that I've been doing for international students, and in the fall semester, we took our first international student retreat. That was really exciting. It's just for international students, and I took 4 students. One of them was a Christian, and 3 of them were not, and I came back with 2 more believers than I left with, one of them being Denise. And I got to do my first baptism after that. I baptized Denise in November. So I brought a few pictures. I'm just going to pass them around if you guys want to look at them. And I have to run out. I'm speaking at another church at 11, so I'll have to slip out right after this is over. But I just want to say thank you guys for supporting us and for praying for us. And just a little update. I've been in Tuscaloosa for 2 years, working with international students. The director for Chi Alpha there this May has transitioned, and so I will be the interim director for at least a year while they look for someone else. So that's exciting and scary at the same time. So I appreciate the prayers and the continued support. This new position is still supported by monthly supporters like the church and a few of you guys, so you can still continue to send that in. And I just really appreciate everything, and I'm glad to be here. And we're here till Tuesday if you guys have time. We don't really have a lot of plans. We just wanted to come and hang out with people here in town, and I may go to, I think there's a life group tomorrow night. I'd really love to connect with you guys there just to hang out and be with family. So I'm going to pass a few pictures around, and you can take a look.
I just had a good idea, but I'm not going to say it. It has something about, and Audrey can probably attest to this. You've heard of being unequally yoked. Well, when Dusty's around, you've got to be equally joked. Because you will be the brunt of something at some point. But there is video of Dusty dancing at camp somewhere. I haven't seen it. Yeah, we'll have to find it, see if it ever makes its way to YouTube. Okay, John, why don't you pop up my opening slide up here. If you've been around, you know what I've been talking about. We've been moving through talking about the things that make us who we are, with the understanding that God has made us who we are for a reason. That there's a ministry that God has for us to fulfill, and that doing those things do accomplish several things. One, we get fulfilled. That's sort of a byproduct, okay? We get fulfilled. Second is the kingdom brings fruit, okay? Whatever we do, whenever we're in our sweet spot doing ministry, there's fruit for the kingdom, okay? And the other is that the kingdom and the people of God are all encouraged and built up. All those things happen whenever we are where we ought to be. And we've talked about the factors that are a part of that. First of all, we talked about purpose, okay? And we'll get to that again at the end, but we started with Matthew 28 and the idea of as we go, make disciples. That is the purpose, make disciples. Everything else is focused and angled by that purpose. It's the thing that shoots us out. Secondly, we talked about our interests and passions, things we like to do, the things we enjoy doing, the things that we will basically not eat because of. In other words, whatever it is we'll do rather than eat, that's an interest or a passion. So that kind of thing. We talked about those. Then we talked about personal style. Okay, the whole idea of your personality. We are made differently. We're wired differently. Some of us are more introverted. Some of us are more extroverted. Some of us are task-oriented. Some of us are not task-oriented. More people-oriented. All those things are factors. And we talked about the fact that the reality is there's a ton of different instruments out there that you can figure out what your personality is, and they always have letters that stands for. That's irrelevant. What's relevant is the fact that we are all different. We learn kind of what our personality is, not to defend why we don't do certain things, but to realize it is an opening point for us to do certain things. Okay, remember having that conversation? We're not saying, well, I'm a C personality, I don't do that. Okay, that's not why. Okay, that's not why we find that out. Next, we talk about talents and skills and abilities. Things that we have accumulated along the path of life. They're not necessarily spiritual gifts, sometimes tied to it, but not necessarily. These are things that we might do, okay? Like analytical reading, or like fixing a car, or, you know, just skills, talents, abilities that we've kind of gathered through our experience along the way. And then the last thing we talked about last Sunday was spiritual gifts. And I gave you an inventory and said, take it home and do it. We also have one on the internet, on the website. John showed us where it was again. And, you know, if you didn't get one of mine, you can go do that one. All of these things, as we look at, all these factors are what helps define for us a target for ministry, for our lives. Okay? Fulfilling, fruitful ministry. Now, what I'm going to remind you again, over, and I'm probably going to, you know, if you don't have the bug, you're going to be nauseated from me saying again. The whole idea is, you see that little housey thing that I built up there? That has nothing to do with the fact that we're talking about a church building. What it is this is a way for you and I to find ways to reach people outside the building, not inside the building. And that we started with that disclaimer from the very beginning, that when we talk about these things, we are not talking about how you fit an organizational structure inside a building. That is not why God has wired us the way He's wired us. It's not why He's gifted us the way He's gifted us. It's not why He's allowed us to have these experiences. And it's not why He gave us this purpose. It is not for in here. It is for breaking out. And we've got to remember that. All right. So having reviewed all of that, we put all these things together and we invest them in growing God's kingdom. And when we do that, that byproduct is that we do find ourselves fulfilled. We won't have that feeling that what we're doing with our lives is meaningless or wasteful. When all these things come together in our lives and in concert with the other people that God's given us to share our lives with, then I believe God-sized things happen. Things that can't be explained any other way. Fruit comes and people's eternities change. All those things happen when we are finding this place for our lives. The unfortunate thing is that a lot of people who are in churches in our country, well, we've bought into a message of self-improvement or self-esteem. That the reason we come here is to feel good about ourselves. So I can know the letters that define me. So I can know the gifts. So that I can know what I'm good at. And it's always for me. Me. And that's not what I believe all this is about. That's not the gospel. That's not the good news of Jesus Christ. The good news of Jesus Christ says, you find yourself when you do what? You lose yourself. Jesus said a little bit more bluntly, when you take up your cross and you follow Him. He said, when you die is when you find out how you live. You just don't see that out there very often, folks. We struggle with getting through that this is for us. If you came here today to hear a message that's going to make you feel good, so that when you leave here, you can say, gee, didn't we hear a great message? You're wrong. I love you, but you're wrong. Because that's not what it's about. It's not about you. It's about God and about being a part of what He's doing in the world. And then when we realize and we live that, then all those other things happen in our lives. And we're good. But if we're looking to feel good about ourselves, oh, He didn't cover my sin today, I'm good for this week. Well, we've missed the boat. So all these things you've heard me saying, and I'm just repeating it as we come bring it to the end. I want to look at a couple of passages today just to kind of refocus a few things. The first is Philippians chapter 2, verses 4 through 8. This is what Paul said to the Philippian believers. And these are people he loved dearly. This is one of his favorite places to go and favorite people to be around. Okay, he loved this church. He said, each of you should not look only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. Remember, that's other people. That's not us, it's other people. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. And then he goes on and he explains what that attitude was. He says, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. So even Paul's illustration of what it meant to serve others was to go back to what Jesus did for us, which was die on a cross. It's not about me. Not about you. Next passage, John. Whenever Paul was writing to his protege, Timothy, came to a point, he was trying to encourage him, trying to help him focus on what really was important if he wanted to fulfill his ministry. Here's what he said. He said, but you, I want you to keep your head in all situations. I want you to endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist and discharge all the duties of your ministry. Now for just a second, I want you to pretend like Paul wrote this to you. And instead of that word evangelist, which can maybe sidetrack you from the importance of this passage, just pop that little word out. It's not that we're not supposed to be we are supposed to reach other people for Jesus. We're supposed to make disciples. We know that, right? But lest we get too tangential on the fact that maybe Timothy had the gift of evangelism and he was given the role of being an evangelist, let's pop that word out and put whatever it is God's made us to be in that blank. Discharge, in other words, accomplish, fulfill. So it's same it's synonymous. So, but you, put your name in the blank. Keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of a, you fill in your blank, and discharge all the duties of your ministry. That is something that can speak to each one of us. No matter what our gifts are, no matter what our makeup is, the purpose is that we fulfill that purpose for which Jesus Christ died for us. Okay. Any question? All right. So what I want you to do today, as we kind of come to the end of our conversation about this, is look at how it all fits. And there are no more surveys for you to take. There are no more questionnaires. Now we're just coming to what you feel like you've learned, making it all fit together and praying it through. Because that's what you have to do with any of this. And then I want to give a couple of illustrations. So you'll see that it's now on this sheet, it's positioned so you could write underneath the categories, okay, the facets. Passions, okay, purpose is similar. It's the same for all of us. But passions and personal style and talents and skills and abilities and spiritual gifts. What you've learned as you've prayed through, as you've done some inventories, as you've tried things out, you've learned things about yourself. And what this is a way for you to kind of put all that in one place. What I encourage you to do is as you state the things that you would do instead of eat, that you try to find people who have that same passion, and that you see how all these other things fit. Because the reality is, not one of us can carry on a ministry by ourselves. We're not wired to do that. God has created us to be together in community, to have ministry being fulfilling and fruitful and all that. I'm not saying that we can't be alone at times. What I'm saying is, we all need to be connected to one another in order to receive the support, the encouragement, the accountability that we need in order to accomplish what God wants us to accomplish. That's just part of how He's wired us. So what I want you to think about and what I want you to do is as you perhaps take some time writing down some things that you've learned and you look for people who share your passions, the second thing would be that you look to see what talents and gifts and abilities you have, that maybe you have a different spiritual gift from somebody, but between the passions and the talents, there are things that you have in common. And then you begin to see how those spiritual gifts work together as you consider those passions and those talents. Does that make sense? And then your personality will kind of refine all of this as to maybe what your role is as all that fleshes out. Because some people don't want to be up front. They want to be, kind of in the background. But yet they have spiritual gifts to be applied towards a ministry that's targeting a particular passion or interest or talent or ability. Does that make sense? Let me give you an illustration. It's since they're not here. You got Chief Kennedy Okiri, okay? Kennedy, I would assume, if you look at our little diagram up here, somewhere, somehow, there is either a passion or a talent, maybe both, that has to do with helping other people, specifically then through the medical field. He took that, okay? Give him that. His spiritual gift, I don't know. Dusty, you ever talk to him about that? Teaching, okay? And then his personal style, all that put together, and what did it drive him to do? It drove him to begin Horizon Medical Ministry, okay? He took all the resources and assets he had. One, being a leader in his community in Nigeria. So he took all those things, looked at all those things, and he found a ministry that was not inside the building in order to do the work that God called him to do. And it has touched people in McRae, Georgia, Haiti, Nigeria, and who knows where next? I don't know. You look at Jason Rockwell. Passions, interest, sports, baseball in particular. Okay? Loves to do that. Okay? Talents, he could play the game. He's played the game. He's invested in the game. Spiritual gift, teaching, okay, encouragement, okay, too, as well. Okay. He worked with other people who had other spiritual gifts, one being his wife. But then all of us too, because we have taken part in that ministry, if we have sat on that field at some point, he partnered with other people who had similar passions and talents and skills and abilities, but maybe had other gifts. And he found a way for us to be in concert together to bring off a ministry. He didn't do it by himself. Couldn't do it by himself. Absolutely. Absolutely. So you look at how these things fit. Okay? And there are other examples. I'm just trying to get you to see how in people, actual people you know, how these things work. The key is, whenever, and by the way, you know, as a chaplain for the Sandnets, he gets to use a different gift, okay, in mentoring and hanging out and developing these young men who are playing baseball, okay? So, all these things do fit. They fit creatively. They fit differently. Sometimes they fit differently as we go through different seasons in our own lives. But the key is us prayerfully trying to put the things together. Especially if we are in that season of life or we're in that place where we know the Lord, but we feel like I'm not in the groove. I'm not hitting the sweet spot. I'm not fulfilled. I'm feeling empty. I'm feeling like I'm wasting stuff. It's the time to ask God where that needs to be directed. And looking at all these things in our life. I didn't plan this. Thank you, Steve. You remember the story about Moses' staff? He was a shepherd. And whenever God met Moses on the mountain, he told him to take off his sandals. He told him he was going to send him back into Egypt to go get his people. What did God tell Moses to do? Well, he said, Moses, what's that in your hand? And like, you know, the genius, Moses was like, it's a staff, you know. And then he said, put it on the ground. Watch what happens. He told him to take what was in your hand. What is it that is already there? And use it. Well, that's the same thing that I believe that God's doing in our lives. He's not asking us to manufacture something. He's not asking us to whip up something and come up with some great creative idea for somebody else to do. What he's saying is, how are you, how am I going to be plugged into what he's doing? because he's at work. He's strategic. None of us are here by accident. What are the things that we need to be doing, that we need to be supporting one another to do, that gets us outside of this place? One of the things, I've told you in this past, one of the things that I've heard, and perhaps you've heard from other people, is that whenever I say I'm one of the pastors at this at Sycamore Church in Savannah, people go, "Okay, tell me about your church." And I start telling them, you know, general stuff, and they'll say, "Well, you know, how many people do you guys have?" I say, "Oh, well, you know, on any given Sunday, you know, we could have anywhere from 115 to 150 at actually there." And they go, "Huh? But don't y'all do this and this and this and this?" And I just say, "Yeah, we kind of act like we're bigger than we are." And that is a very good thing, but it needs to be bigger. See, just on the things that we already know God has used, whenever people have done this, who are a part of us, imagine if 10 more people did this among us. How much bigger, how much God-sized we would be. I can live with that. I like the idea of people thinking that we're bigger than we are. Now, I want to be bigger, not for the sake of being bigger, but because I want to see fruit for the kingdom. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And to make a banana pudding.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just kind of simple. I really need
keeping it simple. Anything anybody else God's impressing upon you think? This is one of those things that nobody can answer for you. No one can tell you. Now, people can make observations about your giftedness or your personality or all that. But no one can tell you how this works for you. You have to wrestle with God about this. And then He will confirm it and affirm it in you as you pursue what He tells you. I believe that. And it doesn't always happen overnight. Most of the time it doesn't. Sometimes He actually wants to see how much we really want to follow. How much do we really want to do it? But when we're persistent, God, things happen. All right. I would really like to hear what God is showing you as you put all together. And you need to be talking with other people, because you got to find people who have the same passions you do, who have the same talents, abilities, and skills that you do, in order to find ways to come together to create ministry. All right. I'm done. I'm going to pray. Lord Jesus, Your ways are not our ways. Lord, You like us to have to pursue You through ambiguity, through uncertainty, and discover. Lord, I pray that we would have that faith, that we would do that. We would realize that You are not through with any one of us yet. And that, Lord, You have made us for this time, even now. And that, Lord, You want to see Your kingdom grow, and You want to see us be fulfilled, and You want to see lives changed. You love people just like us. Lord, I pray that we would not let You go and that You would not let us go. And that, Lord, God-sized things would happen as you speak to us and work through us. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Yeshua, the Son of Yahweh. Amen.